Before I begin this morning, Julia Moore, a member of our church council, is coming with a message from the church council, so will you welcome her?
Okay, is this on? Hello, Second Service. I've been coming here since 2001, and as Steve mentioned, my name is Julia Moore, and ever since I've been coming here, ever since we've had two services, I have been a staunch First Service attender. So it is really nice to see all of you and see the other half of the church that I don't get to see on a regular basis. And I realized something today about the difference between the two services, which is when in the first service, when hundreds of people walk into a building that has been empty for many hours, it takes a little while for the AC to catch up. So I'm a little less glowing than I was during the first service, so I'm starting to appreciate that about this service, so maybe I will come back more often. But the reason I'm with you here today in the second service is in part of my role as a church council member. So speaking on behalf of the church council, I want to bring you an important update on our congregation's financial health. I was reading recently a story in which somebody's spouse said to them, "I have something I need to tell you." And they mentioned that nothing good ever comes after that sentence, that there's something I need to tell you. So there is something that we need to update you on, and that is that although attendance at our 5 weekly services actually increased by 2% this year, if you have been following the updates in the weekly bulletin, you will have noticed that our financial donations have actually declined almost 9%. And our income budget shortfall averages around $4,800 a week. And so as you just heard in our announcement, all the ministry we do here at our church, because we are a member-supported church, happens because of those donations. So as a result, our cash reserves have declined by about $100,000 since January 1st. So clearly, we cannot afford for this to continue. So we are immediately instituting austerity measures on our expenses and are planning to cut our expense budget for the rest of the year by $100,000. We will be making budget cuts in every area of church life, except for our benevolence ministries like the food pantry and the care center, which are funded separately and kept in separate funds and still have enough to function for the rest of the year. That, of course, means that non-essential expenses like the Sunday coffee and bagels will be suspended until our income recovers to a sustainable level. So, please join us in prayer that God would bless the personal income of those who attend here and that many more people would join our church family and help financially support our efforts to introduce people to the life-changing power of God's mercy and truth. Please pray that we would remain spiritually and financially strong and healthy as we go through this upcoming season of senior leadership transition. So thank you, and with more about that transition, I will turn it back over to Steve.
Thank you, Julia. But this is now the good news part of the service. I want to start with the verse from the Bible, from Ephesians chapter 4. He, speaking of Jesus, also gave apostles, prophets, missionaries, as well as pastors and teachers as gifts to his church. Their purpose is to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ. This is to continue until all of us are united in our faith and in our knowledge about God's Son, until we become mature, until we measure up to Christ, who is the standard. So, last Sunday, what's going to happen here? We're not doing the normal eating well. Okay, so I'm going to give you an extended announcement. But it's good news announcement, but it is going to take a little bit. So last Sunday, our church council unanimously decided to hire Ted Kim as our senior associate pastor. He will start approximately a year from now as a senior associate pastor. At the end of that year, so 2 years from now, the church council will make another decision. Shall we recommend Ted to the church to be our senior pastor? Which is our intent, but we're going to take a year of experience before we really put our foot down on that. At that point, then, the members of the church will be able to vote yes or no, do we receive Ted as our senior pastor? So that's 2 years from now. And then at that point, then it's based not on did I like the sermon, but is based on actually getting to know him over a whole year, which is what we want. Like, you know, nobody can tell what kind of leader somebody's going to be from one sermon. So, you know, you have to get to know them. So that's important, and so we're setting it up for that. Now, what I want to do from here, the rest of today, is to give you a little more background on this decision, because there's a whole backstory that's actually pretty interesting and actually pretty exciting. Now, over the past 5 years, we've been reading and researching as much as we can about successful church transitions, because lots of church transitions don't go well. And like after spending 42 years in this, our entire last work, Bill and I did not want it to end with some sort of crash and burn. You know, we want this to go on for at least another generation, if not more. But that requires some really thoughtful processing about how we transition to the next senior leadership. And so we've been fortunately, there's lots of books that have come out on transitions. There's been some conferences, seminars on the subject. And so we went to all those and we came away with two really important ideas, two key ideas. The first idea is that it works a lot better when there's an overlap between the previous leadership and the succeeding leadership. So what we have done is to plan a 3-year overlap, which means Ted will be here 3 years while I'm still here. So, you know, some people keep asking, I heard you're going to retire. Yes, I am, but not for 4 years. We all have to retire sometime, willingly or unwillingly, you know, but, you know, not for 4 years. Where there's going to be an overlap. So the idea is that by the time I'm, you know, fading away, you'll be used to Ted and you won't miss me so much. Some of you maybe won't miss me at all. Who knows? No, not really. Anyway, the idea is simply that the overlap really helps everybody. And it helps him because I'm here to kind of show him the ropes as he's getting started. Second important idea. It's really important not to change your key values when a new senior pastor comes in. So the most common mistake that many churches make is when it's time to choose a new pastor, they say to themselves, let's get a new pastor who's everything our previous pastor wasn't. And they swing the pendulum way over here, but what they don't realize is that they usually lose the values as well. And so then, a year later, they're all leaving the church because it's not the same church it was before. Well, that's because you changed the values. Of course, that's what happens. You have to, like, understand what your key values are and keep them. And find somebody who holds those values so that they can go forward and you still, the same reasons why you came to the church in the first place will be the reasons why you continue to stay. So that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to preserve our values. And with those two things in mind, we came up with a list of criteria of what we were looking for in your senior pastor. I've shared these with you before, but I'm going to do it again. We're looking for somebody who is in the Vineyard movement and thoroughly committed to the Vineyard movement, because that encapsulates a great deal of what's important to us as a church in our movement. God spoke to us, worked among us supernaturally, calling us into the Vineyard movement and continues to do so. Number two, we're looking for someone who has at least 8 years experience in top-level leadership, because this is a fairly large and multi-part church that is not something for a newbie to try to manage. Number three, we want somebody who has the ability to think and lead strategically, theologically, and practically. Like, we want all of those three things together. That's what we've had together in the past as our leadership, and we want that going forward. Number four, we want someone who's able to put at least 20 years into building the church into the next generation. As we're choosing a new leader, we're not just choosing somebody who's, you know, just going to be the new leader, but we want somebody who will actually be able to have a vision and a practice of bringing along the next several generations of people that God is reaching through our church. Number five, we want somebody who has experience with cultural or racial diversity or is a person of color, because we are one of the most diverse churches in America. We are people from 55 different nations of the world. It's wonderful, but not always simple. And so you really gotta, you gotta have a leader that's up for that. Number six, we want somebody who has a commitment to the historical values of Evanston Vineyard. That means like no hype and honesty and relational and all the things that we love about who God has made us to be. And lastly, number seven, we want somebody who has clear signs that God is supernaturally calling them to lead this church. Now, about this list, it's really important for me to say, this is not like a wish list where we put the things in order of importance and we hoped we would have, you know, the top of the list and we're willing to give away the bottom of the list. That is not what we thought about this list at all. We could put this list in any order, it would have the same outcome because they're all equally non-negotiable. From the beginning, we felt like these are all non-negotiable things, not wish lists, but like we have to have all of them. And they're all equally important. If somebody didn't meet any one of them, that would raise serious questions about whether they were the right person. They had to meet all of them. Nothing was expendable. Ted meets all those criteria. And the church council, in meeting with him and interviewing him, found that not only did he meet our criteria, but they were very excited and impressed by his answers to many, many, many questions, both written and verbally, about leading and working with our church. And they're actually very excited about working with him, as is our pastoral staff team, who can't hardly wait for Ted to get here because they really loved him a lot. Now, we had several other candidates who submitted resumes, but none of them came even close to meeting half of our criteria. So, as I said earlier, the whole list was non-negotiable, so we did not pursue things any further with any of them. Okay, we'd really beat the bushes. I called any number of Vineyard pastors all around the country that I know many of who I thought might have people that would fit what we were looking for. We also posted the opening on the Vineyard USA, you know, website where they have a job section to see if there's anybody out there we didn't know. But as I said, the only responses we got didn't even come close to meeting the criteria, let alone meeting them nearly as well as Ted does. Now, some have asked, why did we not have an African American? The fact is, we do know an African American pastor who does meet all our criteria. His name's Gino Allison, and he's been a guest speaker here several times. He's my friend. He's a pastor of a Vineyard church in the south suburbs. This past March, I asked Gino to apply for the position and kind of ruined his life for several weeks. Because he considered it a tremendous honor and not something that you go over lightly. And he and his wife went into several weeks of pretty serious praying and seeking God about what God was saying to them about this and whether they should apply as I asked him to. And in the end, he came back and said that he felt that God was telling them very clearly to stay in his current church, and he declined to apply. Now, in the past, we've had three different African Americans as pastors in this church in various positions, and we would like to do so again. We know there's a value in having leaders who've shared in our sufferings and who represent all the different parts of our congregation We currently don't have an African American on pastoral team, so we would like that. Ted and I have talked about it, and he agrees that it should be a priority. So I'm praying regularly for God to call an African American leader into the ministry and into our team, and I hope you pray the same way. Now, going back to Ted, there's a part of our story with Ted that I'm now free to share with you. I couldn't like tell you all of this stuff up front because we needed to go through the whole process without like tilting the thing, you know, up front. We had to touch all the bases, to use a baseball analogy. Now, I've known Ted since he was an intern with us back in the 1990s. And we've stayed in touch over the years as he's had different pastoral positions. In fact, his current position, I actually arranged. You know, like I knew the pastor was looking for somebody, and I kind of played matchmaker and got them together. About 5 years ago, Ted and I were both invited to do a conference for a church in Africa. And I was there to speak. He was there to do some worship leading stuff and some training for worship leaders. And when we got there, it turned out that this church had major problems. Serious, serious, super bad, very toxic problems. And we ended up spending most of our week there trying to counsel the senior pastor and help him sort through all these problems. And in that process of those discussions, I found myself very, very impressed with the way that Ted was thinking and speaking. Like you can, when somebody's like working through a really nasty problem, you see them in a way you don't see them any other time. And as I was watching Ted, I really liked the way he was reacting and speaking and thinking. And I thought to myself then, this is 5 years ago, when I get to dealing with this retirement thing, Ted might be a good fit. I need to keep my eye on Ted a little closer. And in fact, I told him, I said, don't agree to do anything for anybody without talking to me first. Without saying anything more. I just thought, there's something there. I need to keep in track. And so for the past 7 years or so, he's been a worship pastor at a Vineyard Church in Syracuse. But while he's there, and I happen to know this because I'm friends with the lead pastor there, that he's been like a senior associate because he thinks strategically and pragmatically. And so, you know, he really has been at the top table the whole time. So in the whole lead up, as we did our study and we're getting closer to our timeline, I've had in my mind that I knew for certain two men in the Vineyard who would meet all our criteria, Ted Kim and Gino Allison. So I thought, I got two to go. I hope that's enough. And my intention was to ask both of them to apply this summer. So like I anticipated talking to them around now and see what happened. Now, at the same time, I've been praying that God would work all of this out in such a way that it would have a very clear element of God supernaturally intervening and calling and orchestrating the transition. I didn't want to have just a process of using any human wisdom, including my own, just to find somebody that I thought would make a good fit, and that's it. You know, or somebody I like, and that's it. Now, it is true they have to be a good fit, and it is true I have to like them. If I don't like them, they're not coming. You know, after 42 years, you get that. If I don't like them, they're not coming. But I wanted more than that. I wanted something more. I wanted something with God in it. That would say, God is in this thing. You know, that's how every significant change in our church has happened. Like, this is not the church I envisioned 42 years ago. This is something beyond my wildest imaginations that God did. God has surprised us and shaped us in important ways along the way to make us who we are today. You know, God has intervened to shape us, and it seems like this decision is going to shape us for the next 20, 30 years. Like, I want God in it. I want that same sense of God orchestrating it. So that's what I've been praying for. So I'm praying this way, and I'm anticipating that I'm going to have this conversation with at least Ted and Gino, assuming maybe I don't find anybody else, at least Ted and Gino this summer. But last December, I got this message from Ted. Steve, I need to talk to you. It needs to be a long phone call. Sure, Ted, whatever, you know, like. And so we make the phone call, and for 45 minutes, he talks nonstop. Like, I can't get a single word in edgewise other than uh-huh, or just so he knows I'm still alive on the other end. He's just going for 45 minutes, and what he does in this call is he laid out a whole series of out-of-the-blue supernatural things that have been happening to him to say, essentially, that he should be getting ready to lead a church as a senior pastor and that it had something to do with Evanston Vineyard. And so he wraps the whole 45 minutes up by saying, so, Steve, is there any way we can come out and work with you? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, Ted. And I just spilled the whole beans. I just told him, like, we're about to, like, launch this transition process. I was going to ask you to apply, so you should apply. And I'll tell you more about what the things he said in a minute. So I just came out with it, but, of course, that meant that that moved our timeline up. So, like, you know, I told him in December instead of June. So in January, I talked to the church council. We agreed to move the whole timeline forward, and so then I talked to Gino in March, and, you know, it just went from there. So we moved the timeline forward a bit, and here now are the things that led Ted to believe that God was calling him to serve here at the Evanston Vineyard. And I'm going to read this in his voice, according to, you know, he sent me this email with all these things in it. So here's how it goes. One friend from Vineyard Worship at some point in 2013 or 2014, after observing me at a retreat, heard a word about worship pastors moving into the senior pastor space, and he turned to me and said, that's for you. And he's told me that many times since. Another one of my friends has told me that she's seen me at the helm of a ship in pictures she's had about me, and she's just been waiting for this to happen. When I told her what was going on, she said something like, about time. In 2016, Adam Russell is one of our Vineyard pastors in Kentucky, and he's on our national board. He's a significant, in my mind, young leader. I think he's in his 40s. That makes him young. Anyway, Adam Russell had a word for me that I'd be making this change and that I'd be becoming a pastor. Also, in early 2017, Matt Turgiano, one of our other pastors, prayed for me that more was coming. I don't remember the exact content of those words, but there were a lot of them. And when we talked about this opportunity a couple months ago, he said, I think I was prophesying to you about this last year. Later in 2017, another friend, who happens to be very prophetic, texted me randomly and asked me to call him. He told me that he thought I was in the shadows and in the background, but a time was coming when I was going to be called into the front and into the light. I hadn't talked to him at all about what was going on. And he told me that he felt like you, Steve, were going to be involved in this somehow, and he seemed to think that relationship was very important. He also told me he felt like it would be my job to help carry through our kingdom theology into the next generation, and that I would be a primary person to help carry that out. Without any prior knowledge to what was going on, a prophetic lady in our church came up to me sometime earlier this year with a picture of me standing in front of thousands of people and leading them forward, and we were all holding hands. She said I was coming into a new calling, and I would be pulling generations of new leaders in my wake. And she said we would be a family of influence. Another prophetic person told me without any knowledge that I was stepping into new leadership. my spiritual director, Deb Smith, who I've been meeting with since 2012, and I hadn't told anything to her about any of these stuff, had the sense that something new was coming and new leadership was on the horizon. Then in late 2017, Casey Corum, who is one of our premier Vineyard worship leaders and songwriters, Casey Corum had a dream that I was going on staff at Evanston. Shortly after that, I called you. He was unprompted and had no idea of what was going on. And there were many other words. I felt those ones I read were the most significant ones. He had a bunch more, and more has happened since then to him, all pointing in the same direction. And so it's really my firm belief that Ted Kim is not only the right man for us at this time in all the important ways of values and abilities, but I really believe God's chosen him for this. You know, when he called me last December and laid all this out, going into that call, I had some anxiety about this whole transition thing. Are we going to make it? Are we going to get it through? Will we find the right person? After that phone call, I felt like God's got this. God's got this. He's orchestrating this. I have not had a moment's anxiety about this since that day. I knew then God is going to pull this out. He's got this under his control. I don't need to worry about this. You know, I just need to cooperate with the thing. And we're going to go through all the steps, and we're going to, you know, make sure there's nobody else out there, and, you know, we'll do all the human things that we can do, but I felt pretty sure from that moment on, like, I think God's, it's going to go this way. It seemed really clear to me in the end, and sure enough it was. And both Bill and I feel very, very, very comfortable and very good about handing over to him our life's work, because we really believe that he will take it to another level with for other generations to come. You know, in a whole other way. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm really looking forward to the 3-year overlap. I think it's going to be fun to work together. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church, and as the head of the church, he gives leaders to serve the church and help it to become all it's meant to be. And this is how that works out. This is what that looks like. It happens like this. And I just want you to see this. You know, so often churches just kind of have a human process, and it's just people fighting, you know, who they like and who's their favorite person. And I just want you to know that's not what we're doing here. That's not our experience here. This is Jesus taking care of us and leading us in a really exciting way. Now, of course, Ted won't be exactly like me. First of all, he's bald. Second of all, he has more of a sense of style. So if you've been yearning for a cool pastor, hang on. Okay? I don't know if he's up to the skinny jeans or not, but, you know. I think he'll be a lot more fun. I think you'll like him a lot. In fact, you know, I've traveled around, and he knows a lot of people, particularly through the worship network. And I have not met anybody who didn't think that he was like one of the most lovable, likable people that they knew. They'd all love him to bits. And he'll hold all the values that have been important to us as a church at the same time. I mean, he is passionate about them. I mean, passionate with the energy of someone 20 years younger than me. And that's going to be good. You'll have a whole year to get to know him better. And I'm really confident if you give him a chance and just get to know him, you will see God's hand on him and God working through him. You'll be like me. Your anxieties will be put to rest, and you'll know, hey, God's got this, and we've got a great future ahead. But just to get you started, here's a little video interview we did with Ted that we can share with you right now.
Hey everyone, my name is Ted Kim, and this is my 5-year-old daughter Eliana, my 3-year-old son Nathaniel, and my 1-year-old Annalise, and my wife Brittany.
We met in the Seattle area where Ted did his first job as a pastor at the church I grew up at. Yes, I was raised in the Vineyard, was there from a young age, and that was my home.
I grew up actually in the Midwest, so my parents are immigrants from Korea, and they moved over here to the States to do some higher education. My dad ended up being an engineer at General Motors for many, many years, so we lived in, grew up in kind of Michigan. But I came to Chicago to go to university. So I went to university on the south side at a place called the University of Chicago. And I came to the Evanston Vineyard after I graduated because I thought, man, this could be a great place to launch me maybe as a pastor. And I got probably more than I bargained for. My experience growing up as a third culture kid was that I was always uncomfortable. But you know, like, I used to think that being uncomfortable was kind of a bad thing. I think that acceptable discomfort for the sake of loving one another for Christ, man, I just think that could be like a great posture for all of us to have. Well, I would approach leading a church that has that much rich diversity with that many different nations. I think that I would have to approach it with a posture of openness, listening, and humility, and also kind of an awareness of an acute awareness of my situatedness, my situation, kind of like the way that I think, the way that I am, the person that I am, the upbringing that I have. How do those things impinge upon my ability to have real community? And to be in community as we are moving toward Christ and to Jesus with everyone. I mean, so on the one hand, it's about openness and about listening, but on the other hand, it's also about examination. Everything that we do right now matters. And if it is true that everything that we do right now matters, the kind of activity that we find ourselves participating in is super, super important. And that's why I think that in terms of what the church is supposed to do right now, it needs to do justice, it needs to do beauty, and then when it does those two things, then we do evangelism. We talk about Jesus to people who don't know Jesus, you know? I think that the story of Jesus is the most compelling, the most beautiful story in the universe. And I think that to frame the story and with the word beauty, to frame that story with the word beauty, I think would be compelling to everybody. God is beautiful in what he does and beautiful in who he is. And anytime anything reflects beauty, it points back to God. And that's why I'm so interested in beauty. And that's why I wonder, what would it be like if church could be preoccupied with beauty? What would it be like if church could champion beauty? Man, I think that would be really cool. And I think it would be really cool for everybody, especially people now who don't know Jesus and who don't think that there's any real truth, you know? You could talk about a story that's beautiful. And here's the other thing that I think is really, really beautiful. The gospel, or the good news about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us and how Jesus has triumphed over sin and death, the gospel is the only story in the universe that makes death beautiful. The church's best course will always be with humble people who are like, what do you want? What do you want, Jesus? You know? Inevitably when that happens, Jesus or the Holy Spirit is going to tell the person or the people leading that church things they don't want to hear. And to me, what that means is there's no real choice. You do what Jesus wants you to do.
So we're hosting a diversity conference here at third week of August, and Ted was already planning to come on out, so I asked him to come a couple days early. So on August 19th, he's going to be here preaching at all services. So if you want a little taste of him before next June, come on August 19th. All right, Cindy's going to come now and lead us in a time of prayer.
Wow. Like, that was a load of news all in one morning. It takes a little absorbing it. But it seems like those of you who are detail freaks like me probably noticed that we didn't do the intercessory time at the end of worship, which is the place where we usually put that. And that was, we moved it on purpose. We didn't just forget. We moved it on purpose so that we could pray together now, because the response to joyful news and concerning news is the response that that I think God is looking for, and that touches our hearts and meets our needs as well, is to be able to pray together and respond to Him right away. So we're going to do that in a couple of different ways. If you all would stand with me, if you can. I know it's hot and some of you were affected by that heat more than others, but we're going to pray for Ted and Brittany and our future with them, and then we're going to pray some about the church's financial situation, and then we've got enough time to do something additional. So, we didn't put it up on the screen. If you can say, "Lord, hear our prayer," then then you've got it. You've got everything you need to know. So, let's pray. Thank you, God, that you look out for us so well. You've given us someone to join our leadership team that you've clearly talked to about this over and over and over. Thank you for your hand on the process, and thank you for Ted Kim. We ask you to bless him with wisdom and endurance this year as he works hard to finish well at Vineyard Church of Syracuse. Lord, hear our prayer. We ask you to begin to give him vision for us now, Lord, even before he gets here. Give him dreams and scriptures and wisdom. Lord, hear our prayer. Be with Brittany and the children and with Ted as they begin to say goodbye to friends and start imagining a new life in a new place. Lord, hear our prayer. And now, Father, we turn to a concern that we share together. Ours has always been a church supported not by a few rich people, but by the tithes and offerings of hundreds of ordinary people of modest means who are just faithful. So we ask you to move on our behalf, all of us. Lord, hear our prayer. We ask you to give us good work that pays well. Lord, hear our prayer. We ask you to help all of us, pastors and leaders and people, manage our money well so that we can all be part of getting our church finances back in a good, stable, sustainable place. Lord, hear our prayer. And finally, we pray into our future and ask that you'd keep building us more and more into a place where your kingdom comes in big ways and small every day, and where those who are broken find a welcome and a family, where healing flows, and where we never lose vision for what you might do in us and through us for your world that you love so much. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we finish, we've got a little chunk of time, so I want to do something a little bit different this morning. As I was praying about this earlier in the week, I felt like God was saying that this Sunday we should invite anybody up to the front to get prayer. Now, before we finish our service, while everybody's in the room, who needs a blessing on their own financial situation? Doesn't matter whether you are doing really well financially, but there's something coming up that you really need God's wisdom on, or his blessing on, or whether you just lost your job, or you're just struggling, or you're trying to find a second job, or you're just having problems making the income and the outgo work. It doesn't matter. If you would like to be prayed for by the others in this room, that God would bless your financial life just as he has blessed other parts of your life, if you would start coming up to the front, that's what we're doing this morning for a prayer time. We are going to start praying for God to turn some finances around, because as he turns your finances around, I guarantee he's going to turn the church finances around. The two are linked if you are faithful in what you do. Now, here's the deal. You all just keep coming up and leave me about a person's worth of room around the front, because I've discovered over years of praying for people that you can never get in front of people. And so you're always praying from behind them, yelling over their shoulder. So you can spread. There's plenty of room on the side, and you can curve around the edges. Okay, now here's the deal. We don't do this very often, but for the rest of you who are not up here, if you are a follower of Jesus, I would like you to come up and gather around these people, get in front and behind, make sure nobody doesn't have somebody praying for them. And we are going to pray for these folks. And when we pray for them, I want you to encourage them, okay? So I want you to bless them and encourage them, not preach to them, okay? If you feel like God's given you a word for them, then come talk to me. I'll connect you to a prayer team person. We can do that. But, okay, got it? So if you're up here to get prayer, can you stick your hands up so the other people can find you? Okay, the rest of you, can you start moving now? Okay. Good, 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 good. Don't be shy. Come around. Some of you come around the front so you can get in front of the people in the front row. Scooch in between people. Say, excuse me, disculpe, permiso. Just, you know, do what you have to do. But everybody, I want everybody to have somebody praying for them. Yeah. Yep. More people in the middle. Kind of scooch around the front and then come around. Bonk, bonk, bonk. Yep, got plenty of people in the front and the middle who don't have anybody praying for them yet. So keep your hands up, folks, if you are waiting for somebody. Okay, there's some people in the middle. This is what I was talking about. Yeah. Good, good, good. And once you've got somebody there, you can put your hand down. So let's see. Okay. Guy in the blue shirt over here needs somebody praying for him. Everybody got somebody? In the middle there, green shirt. It's all the tall people. Come on, folks. We need some tall people with faith to pray for some of these tall people. Over here and... Okay, good. All right. I'm going to get us started, and then I'm just going to let you guys go and start praying for people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we are the body of Christ, and we get to do this for each other. And so would you pour out a spirit of faith on all the people praying and all the people receiving, that as they bless their brothers and sisters, your blessing would come on them. Holy Spirit, come and do your work. do your work, encourage your people, so that together we can all rise up. Okay, you guys go at it.